Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Film and Mr. Movie. This show we review Drive. And now here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film. Hello, I'm Mr. Movie.
And I'm Mr. Film. And for this show's film, we go for a drive.
If I drive for you, you give me a time and a place. I give you a 5-minute window. Anything happens in that 5 minutes and I'm yours, no matter what. I don't sit in while you're running it down. I don't carry a gun. I drive.
So you just moved to LA?
No, I've been here for a while.
What do you do?
I drive for movies.
Isn't that dangerous?
It's only part-time.
You put this kid behind the wheel, there's nothing he can't do.
Kid, I want you to meet Mr. Bernie Rose.
My hands are a little dirty.
So am I.
Ryan Gosling is the aptly named Driver. Like all great iconic heroes, we never learn his name. In this modern-day film noir, he's an expert stunt driver by day and a cool-as-cucumber wheelman for hire by night. Driver's boss, played by Bryan Cranston, is a typical film noir schmuck, a loser with big dreams but not the brain power to see them through. Through his boss, Driver meets two creeps, played by Albert Brooks in one of his best and edgiest roles in his career, and Ron Perlman, who goes back to his roots as a heavy. Of course, there's a damsel in distress, played by Carey Mulligan, and Driver's heart melts just a little at her plight. Her con husband is getting out of the joint. He owes protection money to some small-time hoods. Driver makes a deal to clear the debt, and then things go really, really wrong really fast, and they get really dark. Now, Mr. Movie, I think Drive is probably one of the best crime flicks we've seen in a while, and it's probably, for me, one of the best films of the year, and particularly for Ryan Gosling, who yet again turns in a stellar and completely original, intensely physical but intelligent performance. He utters only 23 lines in the entire film, but like Clint Eastwood, Steve McQueen, and the early Mel Gibson, throws his entire body and soul into the part. This 1 hour and 40-minute R-rated film is the kind of adult action flick that we don't get much of anymore. And it was a breath of fresh air for me, even though it was tinged with a bit of smog. The film isn't really for the faint of heart. Gosling is chilling, violent, and not above visiting the kind of retribution that we'd see in a Cormac McCarthy novel. But it all works. And I want to particularly point out Albert Brooks here again. I predict he'll get a supporting actor nomination come Academy Awards season. That's how good this performance is. It could have been just a completely over-the-top parody, but he gives it a real scariness that I think that this really needs. I also want to give kudos to screenwriter Hossein Amini. This is how you write a screenplay. There's no stupid garbage. There's no daddy issues. There's just a man who's good at what he does, and he makes a decision that changes his life. It's as simple as that. Now, as for the driving, which I expect some viewers will particularly be interested in, the opening sequence alone is worth the price of admission. The car chases are not spectacular, but there's a kind of expertise and coolness that make them totally original. I encourage all film noir and, yes, even Western fans to go see Drive, because this really is a Western as well. Instead of a horse, we have a car and the loner hero. You won't be disappointed, and I'm giving this a solid A.
Okay, Mr. Film. Well, I will give you that Drive is an interesting motion picture. And in a way, everything you said about it is absolutely true. But, you know, there aren't many good guys here. So for me, I found it a little more difficult to be invested in these characters. Mm-hmm. Then again, you know, I never really could see the point of the Godfather movies either. And I know a lot of people really like those. But yeah. I think if you're into a dark crime drama or gritty suspense thrillers, this is for you and you won't be disappointed. I do agree with you completely that the script is smart, and it almost feels like a David Mamet meets Quentin Tarantino kind of movie.
Yeah.
It's quiet and cerebral, slow-moving, and unnecessarily violent at times. It's also fairly stylish. In a way, it's kind of like Terrence Malick's Tree of Life kind of stylish, except that the existentialist fat is trimmed here. And so as a result, we get a very lean, contemplative, yet complex story that in the end is actually pretty simple and straightforward. I'm not quite sure it all amounts to much in the end, except that Drive is fun and is a fun and rewarding ride along the way. Now, I do have to say this is extremely violent at times,
yeah.
Pointlessly so, in my opinion. But, you know, the kinds of people that will like this picture, that are into the crime dramas and whatnot, will likely enjoy every minute of it. If you like Quentin Tarantino, you're going to like this movie. It's kind of a slower version of his pictures, I think. And I kind of suspect, Mr. Film, that you're one of those people.
Yeah, I think you're kind of right.
But I do agree with you about the script. I mean, there are no characters here that do not serve the main storyline in some impactful and important way. And that's rewarding as a moviegoer because the picture rewards us, the audience, for paying attention to it. So I do like it and can appreciate it for that. And yeah. I didn't mind the artsy stuff so much. I think cinematographer Newton Thomas Siegel does a lot of interesting things with lighting in this movie,
yeah.
Making some scenes feel almost like a religious going experience. And the movie kind of contrasts this visual feeling with the subject matter that we see, and it's often very violent and gruesome, so that's kind of an interesting contrast. At other times, it's tender, such as with Ryan Gosling and Carey Mulligan's scenes. They had some, I think, some great chemistry together.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, I don't know, I think they went a little bit overboard in that artsy department, especially that, if you remember Mr. Film, and those who have seen the movie will know what I'm talking about, that elevator scene. That's very suspenseful when they're at the apartment. I just kind of found that how that played out to be a little bit unbelievable and sort of on the edge of absurd, but that's a quibble. On the whole, I think the movie does do a decent job of walking that tightrope between being, you know, artsy and stylish and actually having content. And I only wish more smart scripts were out there like this being written more often, but about more the kind of people that I think I would like to see and the kind of stories that I would like to watch on the screen. But on the whole, I think for movie fans that really love storytelling as such and the art of cinema, this is for you. So if you're looking for inspiration or to be entertained or for some kind of really interesting take on the world, I think you're probably better off taking the bus. So, you know, in the end, Drive is a symphony of fast cars, love, and violence. And some people, like Mr. Film, will love it, and some will hate it. And some, like me, I think, can appreciate that those like Mr. Film like it, but are, nonetheless, just kind of ho-hum about the whole ride. So I'm going to give Drive a B.
Okay, I see where you're coming from, and the thing, you are right. I mean, this really does. I do want to emphasize that this really does fall into the film noir or more modern westerns, where you have these kind of amoral characters,
yeah,
who are trying to do the right thing. You know, you kind of get a sense
in their
that,
context.
What's that?
In their, they're trying to do the right thing in their context.
In their context, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so they're trying to do – but they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to make the world a little bit better in their own warped sort of way, and things don't quite work out. So it goes very, very, very dark. I actually recently watched a very classic French film noir a few weeks ago, and it – The only distance is 50 years. That's really the only distance between them. They're very, you know, very, very similar sort of things. It's not about people that you wouldn't want to meet in real life, you wouldn't want to be friends with, but they're being dredged into their world dropped into their world is fascinating and interesting and a little scary and you know, for people who like those kind of the dark side. This is a picture for you. So this was actually up for the Palme d'Or in Cannes. The director won the best director at Cannes, and I can see why it did capture the interest of the jury at Cannes, and I believe a lot of the critics liked it as well. So I think this is a good one. So it's nice to run into a good adult sort of picture that even if. Like you didn't like it all that much, you can at least appreciate the fact that it's there is some brain power behind it, there's some skill, and there is actually a good, very simple story behind it. So
yeah. So you said that Gosling has 23 lines. Did you count his lines in the movie?
No, I actually went on the internet and read up on it because I was wondering how many lines he had, and he only had 20 according to what I read.
I see.
It was 23 lines.
Yeah, it was a pretty quiet movie. So
yeah, but compare this to what he did in Crazy Stupid Love, where he talks through the whole film.
Right.
I mean, it's all about him with that patter that he has with all those women and Steve Carell. So it's really interesting, you know. And then he has Ides of March coming up in a couple of weeks. So this is really his year. I think that, you know, we're going to look back on this and say 2011 was the year of Ryan Gosling.
Oh, so, for sure, without a doubt.
Yeah. So
check it out just for that reason alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope that he continues making interesting pictures like this, because it's good to you know, I think he's getting enough clout that he's able to pick, you know, get behind a picture and then it'll get made. And if he's making the right decisions, that's the way the system is now. You have to have a star behind it. So if he makes the right decisions, we might actually see some good pictures getting made. So,
all right, hopefully. Cross our fingers there. All right, well, that's all we have for this show. As always, you can visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com and download the latest episodes of The Movie Film Show. If you have a comment or question, you can write to us at mail@moviefilmshow.com or call our 24-hour comment line at 818-581-2010. And that's all we have for this show. Mr. Film, I'll see you next show.
See you next show, Mr. Movie.
All right. See, I didn't hate it.
No, I thought you were going to hate it a lot more than you did.
I know. I kind of wanted to, but I'm writing my review and I'm like, no, actually, you know, okay, I got to give it some credit.
Yeah, I took the hammer and smashed that guy's legs. I'm like, oh man, he's going to hate this. And then when he doesn't say much, and he's like, I think he was working on some engine part or something. He's like, oh my god, he's gonna say it's the American all over again.
No, it wasn't as bad as that.
Yeah.
At least there was a point to it, so that's
and
you're totally right about the opening. That was really good.
Oh, that was awesome.
And the music, we should have talked about the music in the show, because the music was really a compliment to the movie. It kind of gave it that artsy feel, you know, but I liked it.
Yeah, it was good. It was all around. It was a good picture. So, yeah. So I was excited about it. So it's nice to go into a picture and about halfway through, I'm like, yeah, this is pretty good. It's really good. It's gonna hate it, but this is really good. Mr. Movie, like all great iconic heroes, we never learn its name. And
Mr. Film is a symphony of fast cars, love, and violence. The Movie Film Show is almost like a religious going experience.